Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, the podcast where we delve into the world of CMS systems and their crucial role in website and web content development. In each episode, we'll explore the reasons why founders, CEOs, CTOs, and CMOs of web content development companies need CMS systems to thrive in the digital landscape. Get ready to uncover the secrets behind successful website management, content creation, and seamless user experiences. Here's your host, Jonathan Ames.
Welcome to Cutting Edge Web Content Development, a podcast by Butter CMS. Here we share insights on the intersection of content and web development, how you can align these two often competing forces to improve efficiency and business results. Joining us on this episode is Michael Farr, the senior SEO manager at Paylocity, and also the owner of a brand new venture, Farreach Digital. Michael, welcome.
Thank you for having me, Jonathan. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your background with SEO. I know you're very passionate about where SEO sits. Tell us how you kind of gained that passion about SEO.
Yeah, I think like a lot of SEOs, I didn't come at it straight. I started actually my career in journalism. That was what I studied in college. I always called writing my first love. And then I did that for a long time. I even started that in high school. I was a high school editor in chief. And then I was a journalism major in college. And then I was working at the LA Times right after college. So I was actually on a pretty good trajectory. I got burnt out, I think, needed to try something new. And then I was in the Army for a bit. I worked as an intelligence analyst in the Army, then went back to school for a little bit, studying Russian. And then after a couple years of doing that, I ended up deciding to join a marketing company. And that's where my marketing journey began. So all these different career paths seem really random, but I actually found that once I eventually got into SEO, and that was kind of later in my agency life, after being a project manager, I found that SEO was a really good fit for all these kind of disparate skill sets. It involved writing, so a little bit of creativity, and it involved data analysis, so taking in some of my experience from the Army, even as a journalist, knowing how to take all this data and then
condense it down,
put it into a few bullet points, kind of just distill it down to the most important elements for your readers and for your audience. So SEO has just worked out for me as a kind of combination of a lot of different skill sets, kind of a creativity plus technical left, right brain. So that's how I ended up in the SEO field. I've been there, I think, for about 6-7 years or so. I started an agency, but now for the past, I think, 4 or 5 years now, I've been working kind of in the SaaS B2B space for a couple tech companies as an SEO manager.
All right. So tell me, give me your definition of SEO and where it sits strategically among all these other elements on a website.
Yeah. There's actually a lot of debate about that in the SEO community. And I think it's going to depend on how big your site is, what the nature of your site is. Traditionally, SEO has been embedded within marketing. That's been the most common place. That makes sense. It's technically you're driving all the content strategy that typically sits with marketing. But for highly technical sites, you often will have SEOs within development teams because you have very technical requirements. The coding has to be right. You have to have optimized speed, and it just works better within those dev teams where you're on these traditional dev cycle sprints. You also have SEOs within product, I've seen, but it's been a new trend. So it kind of depends on the company. I'd say it depends on the size of the website, the technical nature of the website. I've always sat on the marketing side, so I'm a little bit more on the content side, although you always have to know a bit about the technical side to be able to have those conversations with dev. So yeah, but my previous job was at ZoomInfo, and we had an SEO both in marketing, that was me and I had a team, and then we also had an SEO on development side, working with kind of our tens of millions of company pages. And so it just depends. SEO isn't just the single thing that does one thing. It's it has applications across a broad array of the website.
Yeah. Oh, great comment. I've had SEO experts on as guests for the last few podcasts. And that's one thing I've gleaned from all these different perspectives in SEO is that it really has broadened, because when it started, it was all about how do I rank?
Yeah.
I just want traffic. Give me traffic. And now SEO really had someone come on and talk about, make the case for SEO as customer experience, CX. Mm-hmm. That's good customer experience. And that's a valid perspective. Other people talked about it, as a way to create a customer journey and conversions. Certainly there's a strategic value to SEO and the choices you make, why you go after some content and not others. So there's a lot of different directions you can take with that. In your career path, what are some of the strategies you've seen working on a client website that have generated good results that you've seen that has really helped them reach their business goals?
Yeah, coming into as a new SEO, you have to identify the niche of the business and what works for them. because there's so many different ways that you could go. I mean, in my own situation, working for a payroll company, all these different universes of keywords, payroll, human resources, employee experience. But what I noticed coming in right away was that we were showing up well already for tax and compliance content. So noticing that, I early on kind of doubled down on that type of content. And it's been one of our most successful traffic drivers to the website, especially as we've headed into tax season the past few months. So it's going to depend on what company you're working for, but I think it's a job of the SEO to figure out what works and double down on that. Because the algorithm, you know, it's mysterious. You can kind of recognize what's working and then just replicate that success. And then once you get that success within your team as a new SEO, that's going to open the door to exploring other areas and trying to get other wins that are a little more difficult.
How quickly should someone who's not an SEO expert expect that kind of strategic insight from either an agency or a new hire coming in to look at someone's SEO?
I think within the first 3 months, you should be expecting that. I think that that is a kind of standard practice of any SEO coming in. They're going to want to do a technical audit. They're going to want to do a content audit. You need to give them a few months to understand the business, but that should be one of the first deliverables that they give to you. And they're going to, every SEO you work with is going to have to do that. And so it might feel a little frustrating if you've worked with a couple different SEOs. We already did the audit. You know, it's like, yes, but like they have to understand themselves.
Yes.
And even if you just hand them the documents that already have been produced, like it's not quite the same as doing it yourself and getting that intuition.
Yeah. And you'll get a different perspective from each SEO, which is something I think is good to bring up. I love that you said, you know, give them that 3 months, because a lot of people who don't understand how SEO works will get antsy around month two. And they're like, all right, where's the results? And you're still getting the strategy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good to set those expectations. But yeah, so this kind of takes us into the next question, which is, what are tips you would give to people who aren't SEOs in working with an SEO specialist?
First thing that comes to mind, get them to the table early in decision making. So if you're thinking about building a new section of your website, launching a new website, launching a new product, don't wait till the very end, please. That's something we SEOs really hate, is when there's been a product development process and then we're brought in like a week before it has to launch. Hey, SEO guy, just like optimize this page for us.
Yes. SEOify this for us.
Yeah. And you're like, yeah, but I would have done this completely differently. And so I don't know, like, I think people think about SEO sometimes like the sprinkling you add to the cake at the very end.
Yes.
When that's not right. I guess it's better than nothing, but proper SEO, effective SEO is a core ingredient that's baked in from the very beginning, because there's SEO implications and considerations for just about every web decision that you make, from development to design to your copy. SEO is going to have some opinion about just about all those areas.
Yeah. No, really good point. I think that bringing on your SEO as a strategic partner rather than simply a tactical execution is a choice that you're going to make as a non-SEO and the results that you get. And so if you bring them on as a tactical execution, then great, they'll do that. But like you said, it's going to be lesser results than what they can do.
Yeah, and I would say it's a two-way street. I'm learning this in my career, as I've developed as an SEO manager and gotten some seniority, is that you have to prove to those traditional marketers why you deserve a seat at the table. And I've found that a lot of, you know, traditional marketers don't understand SEO, or they have a very sort of surface level understanding. And in those first 3 months, like I was telling you, but you have to like jump on those quick wins. I've been really lucky at Paylocity, where I had a CMO who understood what I was selling, bought into what I was selling, and gave me a lot of freedom to kind of run my own content team. And through that, I was able to show a lot of success. And sure enough, people noticed that and they want to join in. And so it went from me having to kind of beg for resources at my previous job to all of a sudden people wanting to come and work with SEO because I was demonstrating results. So I've found that especially if you are in a smaller SEO team and working with a lot of other marketing channels, like it's helpful to think of yourself as a marketer first who happens to specialize in SEO. And that's speaking more to the SEOs out there, is we like to be kind of that technical specialist. I think it's sort of in our personality. We like kind of being that technical nerd who just like has all that secret knowledge, but it doesn't help you really from a strategic perspective. Like you have to be willing to talk traditional marketing language. You have to be able to talk in ROI. You have to be able to add value to other people's projects, even if there's maybe not an immediate return on SEO, but show yourself to be a good partner. Yeah. And then on the other side, from the other marketers, give the SEO that chance. I think that if you're not giving SEO a chance at the very beginning, you're missing out on a lot of the potential for SEO strategy, because I think like an SEO manager at the top of their game, I think, is really capable of leading the website strategy. And I have the privilege of being able to do a lot of that at Paylocity because they've recognized how foundational it is to so much of website architecture and content strategy. So got to find a way to middle, got to find a way to convince people that you're worth it. And
so all right, here's a related question. Let's say that your marketing team or a dev team, and now your company is engaged an SEO agency or a number of agencies, and they've got these proposals out in front of you. And this is pretty common. These proposals drop in front of you, and now you're supposed to give your two cents on, you know, which agency should we choose. What advice can you give to those people in evaluating these proposals? And on the other side, you know, how do you walk through one of these and determine what's good and what are the right questions to ask?
The best SEO agencies are going to talk to you in terms of ROI. And that's scary for a lot of SEOs, I think, only because it's actually a lot harder to show ROI for SEO strategy than it is for a traditional, more understood channel like paid media or pay-per-click. It's very, very clear within Google Ads if you're getting ROI off your paid ads. SEO is a lot more nuanced, and you have to extrapolate and kind of make assumptions about certain things. But the best SEO agencies out there, and this is what I look for when I'm looking for help from agencies as well, is that they're going to talk to you in terms of what is this going to return in money value. And they're going to do good competitive analysis and make sure they're looking at what's already working out there and how we can catch up to competitors. They're going to be data driven. There's a lot of small businesses out there, especially, who kind of buy into this very surface level SEO strategy where they're just going to, you know, company's going to write you 100 blogs and then you pay them and that's it. And I hear so many people, you know, share stories like that, and they're so frustrated about SEO, like, oh, SEO didn't work for us and it's not a worthwhile channel. Well, that's because you didn't really do it right. It wasn't really a fair shot. Like, this is very surface level. You can't just write 100 blogs and then be done with it. I mean, SEO is a long game. So I think what you want to look for, another thing is look for kind of a 3-month plan, 6-month plan, a year plan. A good SEO is going to understand and be very clear about how long things are going to take. And you can never totally predict results with SEO, but they should at least be able to explain to you what you can expect in different increments.
Yeah, good point. So look for ROI displayed and monetary values return. Look for 3-month, 6-month, maybe a year-long plan. And as far as going through the proposal, maybe focus less on like number of tasks done. What would you look for instead of those kind of, because I understand what you're talking about, kind of the lower level SEO agencies will just X number of tasks.
Yeah. I think what's so hard about SEO for traditional marketers is that there is a lot of nuance to SEO strategy. And like sometimes you might write a blog and maybe it's a really good blog by all standards, but like you can't necessarily see that immediate impact. And I don't think it's totally fair to judge each SEO tactic by itself. I actually wrote a blog recently using the analogy of how SEO tactics or SEO ranking factors are kind of like a car engine, in that each little piece, it's kind of useless on its own. Like, you only really see the effectiveness of the engine when it's all coming together and working together. And that's the same way with a lot of SEO tactics. It's like, yeah, that blog post by itself, I can't really tell that it's doing anything. But when combined with all the other blog posts, plus these optimizations we've done on product pages, plus this backlinking strategy that's pointing to blogs, like there's a sort of a synergy where the sum is greater than its parts. And then that's kind of mysterious, I know, sounding, and that's what's frustrating to a lot of traditional marketers. But I would just say, try not to judge SEO on individual tactics, number of tasks, but is the line going up over time or not?
Okay. That's a great question. So now, once you have an SEO strategy in place, how do you judge the results? What is that line? I mean, you talk to ROI. What are the nuts and bolts? Let's get into the tactics of how you judge SEO success over 3 months, 6 months, a year.
Yeah. I mean, initially, what you're going to want to look for real practically is non-branded search traffic. So it's really easy to show up for branded results, but that's how a lot of companies get most of their traffic and conversions, including my own Paylocity. People just Google the brand, they've heard about it somewhere. That doesn't require that much SEO, really. I mean, you just make sure you look good on Google. You got your images and Google Business filled out all right. That's easy stuff. But like, it's the non-branded traffic that I think where SEO really shines, because you're showing up for people who weren't necessarily looking for you. And that's so like, you can set up a dashboard that's linked to Google Search Console. Google Search Console is like the main analytics tool for Google Organic Search. And you can filter the results by non-branded. So taking out your branded name, what are all the queries people are coming to your site from? And that should be going up over time. I mentioned tax compliance resources earlier for Paylocity. I mean, we started doubling down on that content, we've seen traffic explode like 500% in a year.
So traffic through Google Search Console over time is the main indicator, you would say, of SEO success.
Yep. And ideally, you would hope that that non-branded influences the branded. It's not going to be a clear link, but the idea is that as people get exposed to your brand, maybe accidentally through these non-branded searches, there's just more brand awareness out there and people start Googling your brand more.
Now, you mentioned earlier ROI was one of the things that they should talk about in the proposal. How do you bridge between the search traffic going up? You may see your search traffic going up and then turning that into ROI that your non-SEO people would understand. It's like, hey, we have this return on investment now.
Yeah, it's tough. One of the reasons it's tough because in Google Analytics, which is what a great deal of companies use to measure website performance, they don't actually have organic keywords. It's all anonymized.
Yeah. They used to a long time ago.
Yeah. And actually before my time, but I've heard such stories. Yes.
Yeah. I was in that time. I'm old.
Yeah. We don't have such luxuries anymore. And so you can't exactly draw a link between a page, what they Googled, and if they converted or not. And so you, and that's why I mentioned the assumptions earlier. There's certain assumptions you make. Okay. I can see in Google Search Console that people are arriving at my product page via this keyword. And so I assume that's like the majority of the traffic, the organic traffic that's coming to this page. And so as long as you sort of are understanding how many people are converting off that page, which you should be able to see in Google Analytics if you're set up all right. And then as long as that data is translating into Salesforce or whatever your CRM is, you then can say, this keyword is valuable because it converted, X number of people and those people drew X amount of revenue. And when you're like pitching new ideas, for instance, you might say, we want to rank for this keyword. And I know that the top ranked page for this keyword gets an estimated X amount of traffic. And you can never like totally know because a lot of these SEO tools are making educated guesses, but you got to start somewhere. And so you say, I think that if we were to take this top spot or top third spot or whatever, we would get this much traffic. We know that our CVR typically is X percent, do the multiplication problem. And that's how you can get some level of ROI. It's not going to be exact, but it's good enough to take action on.
Yeah, that's important. I think a lot of people get hung up on the exactness. And in marketing data, honestly, there's very, very little that's exact.
Amen. Amen. I'm always preaching that, yeah.
So you start with correlation and then you go to causality and then you get a general impression that this is causing an improvement. And I can see that there's an improvement here. The exact number is not as important because if you're trending in the right direction, the people in the C-suite are going to be happy.
Exactly.
So exact ROI, don't get too hung up on it, but definitely you want to watch that trend line.
Yes.
All right. Excellent. Great tactics. So as far as like getting buy-in from a cross-functional team, getting everybody on board with SEO, what are some tactics to do that?
I mentioned some of them earlier, and that is trying to embed yourself within existing projects, especially coming in as a new SEO. Don't just come in guns blazing. I want to do this, that, the other. Figure out what's already ongoing and how you can add value to that. And hopefully that can win you some goodwill. The thing about SEO in a lot of companies, including my own experience, is that you're a small team and you don't have your own resources. And so you have to be pulling resources from the content team, the design team, the dev team, and they all have other people are pulling resources for them. And so you're competing as an internal SEO. And so you have to figure out why your task should be a priority for them. So good reporting is really important. And that's something that I have invested a lot in. I've done a lot of analytics, a lot of dashboard building in Looker Studio. And that's proven to be very effective because not a lot of their teams can show the analytics that I can. And so this thing, to your point, the C-suite, they see that number going up. They say, let's do that. Let's keep doing that. So I'm able to show a lot of numbers and a lot of colors going up. And that helps me win resources. Another thing, I'll just mention one more thing, is kind of like recruiting SEO soldiers, if you will, kind of from within the ranks of other teams. So when you do pull that resource and they do a good job, like promote the heck out of them. Great job. Jennifer, look at this. You wrote this article and we're ranking number one for this keyword. Share that across the marketing team and your Slack or whatever.
Share the love.
People are going to be, all the emojis and then everyone's going to want to share in that glow. Like, oh, wow. If I work at the SEO team, I look really good in front of people.
Great point, Mike.
A little bit of psy-off there. Yeah.
Great psychology tactic is getting more than one champion. And this is a salesperson. You got to have more than one champion in a big organization. Got to get lots of influencers in there supporting that champion. So same thing with internal SEO. So I want to double down on something you mentioned earlier. You talked about this dashboard you got in Looker and the metrics there. A lot of different potential metrics that someone could watch on a website and SEO. Talk through some of the most critical ones that you would like to see in a Looker dashboard?
Yep. Touched on a few of them already. We're going to want to see a branded versus non-branded clicks and impressions from Google. So your impressions are going to tell you, am I showing up more in Google? And then the clicks are going to show you, are people actually going to my site from those impressions? Which is going to, put those together, you got a CVR. I use that dashboard all the time to show progress. You're also going to need to translate that traffic into GA or whatever analytics platform you use. So they're not going to match. Like, don't even try. Don't even try to match the data. Like, I've had so many conversations. It's frustrating. They're not going to match. Even though they're Google products, not going to match. So, but if you need to have another dashboard that shows like how that traffic is then converting. So how many form fills do we have from organic traffic? What is the CVR on that? What are the highest converting pages from that organic traffic? And then I also use some APIs to connect SEMrush data. So SEMrush is a very popular SEO tool. It's my favorite. There's a lot of SEO tools out there that do pretty much the same thing. SEMrush for me is like the Swiss Army knife that I like the best. But they have a nice little data connector with Looker Studio. And so I'm able to show keyword growth over time. So like one major KPI for us is how many page one non-branded keywords are we getting month over month? So I've had a 10% month over month goal for the past year. So we want to see that there's at least 10% more non-branded keywords that we're ranking for on page one of Google every month. And so that's a nice little proxy. You need to show SEO success in a lot of different areas. You can't just have one metric because there's usually some like nuance to it. So you got to show impressions, you got to show clicks, you got to show the conversions, and together that equals SEO is working.
No, that's important. I'm glad you mentioned conversions too, because sometimes you will get traffic, you will get rankings, but your conversions are flat.
Yes.
That is a good warning sign to pick up on really early and say, well, it's not, your SEO is working, but maybe your strategy, you're going after the wrong keywords there. And so, or maybe it's a conversion rate optimization problem. You just don't have good call to actions and such.
Yeah. And there's a nuance here that I've run into with like branded versus non-branded is if you have a very well-known website that gets a lot of branded traffic, it can be hard to like see the SEO impact for a long time, because let's say you get 1 million branded clicks per month to your website. And then maybe you're getting like, okay, like 50 non-branded clicks. But then you're an SEO program and all of a sudden now you have 500 non-branded clicks per month. That's not going to look like anything compared to the million brand. No, million. And so that's why you have to show all these different data points, because if you only look at organic traffic, just like the straight organic traffic going to GA, it's going to look like the SEO program is doing nothing. And so you have to be able to separate it out and say, yes, I know traffic overall looks a little flat. But look at all these other discovery we're getting on these non-branded keywords. And that's important. Yes, of course, you want to raise the overall line over time, but don't just fixate on that.
Yeah. Yeah, good points. So as far as any other maybe tips or mistakes that you see in SEO, the way it's done that you think would be good on a tactical level for listeners to hear?
Expecting content to convert immediately is a mistake I see a lot. I think people need to recognize that SEO isn't one thing. I mentioned that earlier in the podcast. Like, I don't even really like to talk about SEO as a channel. I like to talk about SEO as a more of a skill set or a strategy that can be applied in a lot of different circumstances. So yes, SEO can be used for lead generation, of course. But SEO can also be used for brand visibility, how you show up in Google or where you're showing up. SEO might just be as simple as we need to have our API docs, you know, discoverable on Google, and no, it's not generating leads, but like our customers need to be able to find them. And so it can just be a very like practical thing like that. And so I like to think that SEO, somewhat like copywriting, it's sort of like a skill set that I think a modern marketer needs to have along with all these other different skills and know how to apply it in their context. And of course, you're going to have the SEO expert, of course, who is like the center of excellence. But everyone should at least have a general understanding of how it applies in their area. Yeah, so I guess that would be another mistake, is sort of expecting the SEO to have all that knowledge. I think that that's too much. I think that it's incumbent upon the SEO to make sure that the rest of the team is educated as well.
Are there good resources out there to do that education, that kind of listening for basics?
For sure. Yeah, and if you Google SEO 101, I mean, you're going to find a lot of great resources. I mean, honestly, that's how I learned before I was doing this professionally. I'm pretty much self-taught. I didn't go to college for this.
I don't think there was a college degree.
No, I don't even know if there is.
There may be now, but I don't think there was then for the experienced SEOs out there. It's funny.
I was just going to say, I've just been in a lot of conversations at previous jobs where it's like, you're trying to get something out of this SEO tactic that it's just not designed for. Like, hey, we're writing these thought leadership blogs. Why aren't they converting? well, like that's not really, like you can't expect someone to read a thought leadership post and then sign up for a free trial. That doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. It might be very valuable from a different perspective, but just be very clear you're aligning with your leadership on what this SEO tactic is supposed to achieve. What is the KPI for success? It might be lead generation if it's like a product page or a very relevant product post, but it might just be brand awareness. You might just be trying to raise those non-branded clicks, non-branded impressions to your site for more awareness.
I think that's one of the most transformative things I've learned about SEO over the years is that there's an alignment between SEO and the customer journey. So there's SEO for top of funnel, for mid funnel, for bottom of funnel.
Yeah.
All of those are important. And if you have the SEO resources to do it, you should be trying to hit on all three of those parts of the funnel.
Yes.
And they actually should be a flow, you know, between one SEO article to, and here's your next level and then the next one.
Exactly. Yeah.
So there really is, that's where I think the strategy part comes in, is if you bring in your SEOs, they can help you to identify, match where those keywords go to each part of the funnel, and make sure you have sufficient content in each of those areas. So sometimes you have great traffic, you're bringing in a top of funnel, but not enough bottom of funnels or mid funnel.
Yeah.
So people can't make the jump between exactly. Like, all right, I see the problem, to here's your product and why it's best. There needs to be that middle. So yeah, always fascinating.
I like that you brought up customer journey.
Yeah.
Because I've tried more and more when I'm talking to traditional marketers, especially, is to speak less about keywords and more about questions. It's kind of a semantical, a pedantic difference.
No, it's important.
But like, I think when you talk about it as questions, people understand it a little better. Like, yes, there are keywords and a keyword might be a question, but like thinking about SEO is meeting customers where they're at. Like, what are customers asking that we have an answer for? When you phrase it that way, I think it brings the sort of mysterious SEO strategy to the ground a bit. Okay, our customers are asking, how do I integrate X product with X product? Well, we have a solution for that. Write a blog about it. And so it's an informational query, but there's a natural transition to a conversion there as well. So that's the nature of Google, right? I mean, you're asking questions to Google to learn things. And many times it's very literally a question. How to do this? How to do that?
I think
and
every keyword.
Customers might not know an answer. They may not know what they need.
Yeah.
And they're asking a question. You're surprising them. We have the solution for that. Oh, great.
Yes. I think every keyword is a question. It's shorthand for a question.
Sure. Yeah. It's implied.
And just like you said, they may not know the full question yet. So they're going to put in a part like, I know this is something I'm interested in. But then they see what comes up to further prompt them. It's kind of like ChatGPT really to me fits in with search. It's all kind of a string of like, how do we make these queries to get to where we want to go? And along the way, there's chaos and discovery because you're like, oh, I hadn't even thought of that. But as I did this search, it brought me to this new idea. And then I did another search around that. And so, yeah, I think there really is a journey in search as well as a customer journey. And you want to be a part of that journey at all the stages. So,
exactly.
Yeah, great conversation. Well, all right. Tell me a little bit about you as far as you've been in SEO now for quite a few years. Your journey, as you said, was not like planned. You didn't start out with a degree in SEO.
No.
What advice, if you could go back now in a time machine and talk to yourself when you're younger, what one piece of advice would you give that would have helped you then?
It's so tough, that question, because you think like, yes, I could have chosen a more efficient path, but it wouldn't have been as interesting. You know, you pick up so many stories along the way, lessons learned. Oh man, that's really tough.
Like how many SEOs have a military intel background? That's kind of a unique.
Yeah, almost none.
Unique striking point.
Yeah. I think what I would encourage people to just not be too narrowly focused. And I think I would encourage my younger self as well. Like there's a lot of applications for things you learn in college. It may not be exactly what you major in. As a journalism major, I might have been shocked to know that my future me was working in marketing, you know. But there's a lot of similar skill sets. And so be open-minded when you're young in your career. Be open about where your skill sets can lead you. Don't be afraid to try out new industries because you might be surprised at the overlap between what you thought you wanted to do versus what actually will pay your bills.
Yeah. And that you enjoy.
That kind of is my experience.
And not want to die.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Good jobs that pay your bills, but you're just like,
yeah,
done. So where does Michael Farr find his inspiration? Do you like these broader skill set? Where are these places that you might say, this really inspired you or that?
I mean, like SEO inspiration?
Oh, no, inspiration for anything. You know, where do you find your creative oomph, where you get your next big idea?
Oh, man. Well, I mean, from very specifically an SEO perspective, I really like the site Investopedia, if you've ever been there.
Yeah, I've been to that one.
Like a lot of millennial guys over the past few years. I got into the stock market, you know, like in 2020, and I was learning all about how to invest. And every time I searched something, it would be like Investopedia would show up. And I started recognizing that as a professional and being like, oh, how do I incorporate some of their strategy into what I'm doing? And, you know, it's like what we're saying. It's like questions. What are people asking? And how do I provide the best answers for it? So that's a very practical professional inspiration I get. I think I just try to, personally, I'm just really interested in being well-rounded. So I have a lot of disparate hobbies, my wife will tell you.
That's really useful as an SEO because you do have to interface with so many other functions that it's good to know a little of their lingo.
Yes.
For me, Investopedia is about understanding the financial lingo so that when I go talk to a CFO, I know what the heck all those acronyms mean that are specific to their area of work. So yeah, learn some of those.
Yeah, I would say too, like, you know, this is getting personal, but I think the greatest inspiration comes from having a why. Why are you doing what you're doing? It's different for everybody. I know for me, like I became much more invested in my career when I started a family. When I was single, I was very content with kind of a mediocre career and kind of just getting by living in my apartment with barely any food in my fridge. But I know we're kind of, you know, getting off the rails here, but like you asked me what inspires me, and what inspires me is taking care of my kids and taking care of my wife. And that's what inspired me to start my own business. It's not something I ever thought I wanted to do before, but I don't know, like when I have a motivation outside of myself, it's much more than just making money so I could buy a next new car or whatever.
No, that's why it's not good for man to be alone. That's exactly. Nothing like the fire under your rear, like indeed. A wife and kids. And suddenly you're like,
agreed.
Now I got to go beyond mediocre.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell us, you mentioned your new venture. Tell us about Paylocity or your new venture, either one, and where people can find it, a little bit about it.
Yeah. Let's talk about Paylocity. Paylocity is a great company. I've been Paylocity for a year and a half now, and we are a HR and payroll platform. We think of ourselves as a kind of an innovative tech company in a fairly legacy space. Think of these really old payroll platforms that have been around for a long time. We're tech first, innovation first, and really focused on the employee experience. And so one of the taglines we often say is we make HR and payroll software employees want to use. It's not just something you go to find your W-2 once a year, or figure out how payroll screwed you this month. You know, it's like, there's actually like kind of a employee engagement element to it. We have this sort of internal social media type experience where you can share community updates, the various groups you're part of. There's like the craft beer club, you know, or like there are different types of community groups on our platform. So a lot of like survey tools to help HR engage with employees to figure out how they're feeling about changes or so. Yeah, it kind of goes beyond just your document storage system that a lot of people think of with HR and payroll.
Well, that's really needed because there's a lot of crappy, very big payroll companies out there.
Yeah.
As an employee, you interface with them as little as possible because it's just such a pain. The bureaucracy is very old and dated and takes a long time. So glad to see some growth in the industry.
Yeah. And for my personal venture, it's very new. I mean, I just started at the end of last year. It's called FarReach Digital, FarReach Digital. Website is farreach.digital instead of .com, it's .digital. And it's like just kind of a side gig for me. I'm doing a local SEO for the Vancouver, Washington community where I live, but also kind of talking to other like SaaS and tech clients too, you know, outside of my industry, of course. But that's a space that I've come to specialize in, kind of these smaller SaaS startups. It's a particular SEO strategy that's different than like your traditional e-commerce site. And so I think I have a lot of lessons learned there that, well, like CMOs in particular, they're eager to hear because it's a kind of a niche industry. So yeah, so that's brand new and taking clients.
You mentioned ROI.
Yeah.
Startup SaaS's really careful.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, how are you going to make some money out of this?
Exactly.
Because we have 6 months of runway here. So what are you going to do with that? Yeah, that can be challenging. I think, especially in a startup environment where you do have venture capital, there is a runway. And for those who don't understand, the runway is how long you have to take off before they ground you. So if you don't get off within that time and become profitable or reach certain goals, then you're kaput.
Yes.
So SEO is a long-term strategy. And so a lot of times people will overlook SEO for a startup.
Yes.
And you're saying that's an area that's still viable, even with maybe a short runway.
Yeah, I think it's still viable, but I will be honest with clients. Like if you're looking for a quick result, like usually SEO is not it. I'm not saying you shouldn't invest in it because it's sort of, you're sort of like building a foundation for the future. But like, sure, I'll be honest with people. Like if you're looking to show up tomorrow on Google, buy a paid ad. Or if you're looking to get immediate return and you just need to get leads immediately, like we need to look at some paid strategies, some outbound strategies. SEO is a very valuable, and over time, I mean, study after study has shown that that's the most lucrative way to get traffic, because once you've got momentum going, it's free traffic, right? I mean, with PPC, you have to keep paying for it. It's kind of like, I don't know, it's sort of renting versus buying. Like if you buy your house, it's like you have it.
Yeah. Well, sometimes if you take a strategy where you ignore SEO in the beginning of your startup, you may have some initial success, but then get lapped by your competitors who now have gone past you, and now you're trying to catch up to them.
Exactly.
I know our particular company, Better CMS, was started all through SEO. You know, it was organic results. Our founder was kind of an SEO / developer. So he would write content, you know, for the site in the beginning. And that really has been the foundational strategy for us. It's been just people finding us organically online as they have questions. And they're like, oh, this looks like a good answer for it. Let me engage with them. So I'm going to give my plug for SEO for startups. If you have at least a medium-sized runway, then it is a way that it's sustainable. It keeps building. And like you said, you don't have to keep paying for it other than the time you put into it.
Yeah, it's very relevant to conversations I recently had with a client. Is they had done SEO, quote unquote. What that meant for them was they published a handful of blogs that were going after really competitive keywords, honestly, and they hadn't seen results from it. So like, oh, this SEO doesn't work. And that's kind of what I was mentioning earlier. It's like there's SEO and then there's SEO. And like, especially when you're a new startup, like, I mean, maybe you write that pillar article for that really important keyword just so that you get it, but you shouldn't really expect success from it for a long time. I think you should be going after, like what we were talking about earlier, like those super specific question keywords, because those are going to be lower volume, yes, but more relevant and easier to get. So focus on getting as many of those, what we call long tail keywords in the SEO space as you can. And that'll help you develop momentum to start being more competitive for the more higher volume, more competitive keywords.
Yeah, good points. I think the only places you really see immediate results from SEO is maybe a technical fix where like something was wrong and it's like, we fixed it and now site-wide everything.
Yeah, your site was no indexed. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you're going to get an immediate fix from that.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, otherwise, like you said, it's a long-term strategy that builds. Michael, really appreciate your insights and stuff. How can people find you online? Where can they connect with you?
I would just say go to LinkedIn. You can just type in Michael Farr. Paylocity is my company. I mentioned my business website earlier, farreach.digital. For Google, Far Reach Vancouver, all come up.
Excellent.
But yeah, if you want to, I'm happy to take messages on LinkedIn and talk to people just about best practices or if they have a job they're looking into. Happy to speak with people.
Excellent. Michael, really appreciate those insights. Those were amazing.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Cutting Edge Web Content Development is brought to you by Butter CMS. To find out how you can build better with Butter, stop wasting dev time, and free your marketers from your legacy CMS, visit buttercms.com. Also, make sure to search for Cutting Edge Web Content Development in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. On behalf of the team here at Butter CMS, thank you for listening.